broadcasting from the Third Coast and recorded live at Tripod South Studios, this is The Hango Show.
Oh yeah, we were, they told me I was going to take the lead.
Well, you always take the lead anyway.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's
remember, you the way she does send it. Back the food to the waiter. Yeah, I just eat it.
Oh, you're the one.
Yeah, I'm the one.
Excuse me.
That's not right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm nice about it though. I'm like, I'm sorry.
No, you're very nice about it.
Yeah, but
you're the person
just,
who just starts talking to people in line, like,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
I sometimes do that.
The extrovert and they're the introverts.
Exactly.
But see, that's just you need that in a you need that in friends. You need it in a relationship because. Tink is so introverted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she'd rather be at home with the dogs,
mm-hmm.
you know, watching trash TV
mm-hmm.
or reading a book
yeah.
or something, you know,
mm-hmm.
where I'm just, you know, 100 miles an hour,
yeah.
wide open.
I want to go somewhere. I want to do this or I need to do that. Or
I mean, I could be a homebody.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But like if we go on trips or something,
mm-hmm.
you know, she'll just deal with shit.
Yeah.
Where I'll be like, hey, mm-hmm. come here a second, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess you kind of need that, and but like I listen to y'all show, and y'all all talk wide ass open.
If I'm like comfortable in a situation, I won't shut up.
But that goes for all three of us, though.
Yeah, definitely. And like I was talking about how it's going to be weird doing this because I usually have notes. I know what we're doing, like book stuff, and you know. I just read off the notes and then
we're
whatever.
Very planned.
Yeah.
Well, we say we're very planned.
It's not really.
We're like pause and then figure out what we want to talk about next.
Mm-hmm.
But just like sitting and conversing.
Yeah, it's different.
I mean, we do it,
yeah.
but not recording it. That would be interesting.
It's dangerous.
You should. People are like, I'll ask somebody to come on the show. I don't know what to talk about. So we're going to sit down and talk. We're going to shoot the shit.
Yeah.
It's nothing
yeah.
serious, yeah. you know. It's supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be like a. I'm not Jordan Peterson in here laying out some mad philosophy or anything.
Yeah.
No. The best podcasts, the best podcasts are the ones to me where it's just people who know each other talking shit.
Yeah.
You know. And Joss is fun too. Joss is a lot of fun.
Thank you.
That's because we kind of do that anyway.
Yeah.
It's just tangent.
We've been with each other for so long. Like,
we've been friends with Reba for like 20 years at this point.
They've been friends since kindergarten. We were all in Girl Scouts in kindergarten, but I was the weird one and I just went off to do my own thing. And then about third grade, I came into the picture and then we've been stuck ever since.
And can't get away.
Mm-hmm. No. Oh. Yeah, we had a high school English teacher and we had him all 4 years and he was like, the friends you have in high school won't be your friends in college. And I was like, and I looked at Caitlin and I'm like, that can't happen. It can't happen. I need you.
You can't leave me. We're codependent.
Yeah, a little bit.
Only slightly. But yeah.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Hango Show. This is your host, Hango Wood. Tonight I've got very special guests here tonight. The young lady who watches our dogs while we're going on vacation. About the same time I started my podcast.
Mm-hmm. We were a little bit later, I think.
Yeah. Well, I started in January.
Mm-hmm. And then we come on
in March. We came out in March.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I knew it was pretty dang close. Yeah. I think my first show was like the third week of January.
Mm-hmm. Really, we had an impromptu episode in December, but that's a whole other story.
She told me the story, and I want you to tell it on here because it's really good. These are the ladies. This is Peyton and Reba and Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a show called the Let's Call It Nothing podcast. And I'm guessing just because y'all didn't know what to call it.
Well, there's also a story behind that.
There's a story that they could tell about that.
So, Caitlin's a writer. I pretend to be a writer at some points in my life.
No,
I'm not involved at all.
If you write, you are a writer.
Yeah. But we come up with this story. And
we wanted to write the next classic.
Yes.
Because I hate classics. And I was like, I want to read something good.
Yeah.
So, like, we're going to make our book into a classic.
Mm-hmm. So we decided we were going to make this story about two girls that go on these fantastical adventures and all this stuff. But
they live in a mental institution.
Yeah. And they don't know it until the end.
Yeah, yeah.
And so.
Spoiler, don't step on the ending. Dang.
We're never going to write it. It's okay.
But you could.
But, and we were like, what should we call it? And we're like, let's call it nothing because the whole thing is nothing. And so
I guess we were trying to come up with names for a podcast where we just talked about all kinds of things. And mm-hmm. I was like, you remember the Let's Call It Nothing title? Let's just use that. It's fun. Let's do it. Mm-hmm.
So I have concerns.
Okay.
This is a gotcha moment.
Uh-huh.
When are y'all going to get off? Well, first of all, is your whole show just going to be nostalgia type stuff? I love nostalgia type stuff.
Yes.
So the problem is you're doing your nostalgia mm-hmm. and not my nostalgia.
Exactly.
I understand. I don't care about your nostalgia.
Well, that's
we know that.
I'm just joking. But it's good, though.
Yeah.
Because y'all are coming into the age now uh-huh. where nostalgia is going to start playing uh-huh. a big role.
Mm-hmm. We plan on being strictly nostalgia, but yeah. we haven't really fully in-depth talked about what nostalgia is yeah. right now. Like, we've decided to go through books that we've read mm-hmm. as kids, but we don't know where that ends and where it doesn't
That's
end.
That's fine. Yeah.
Like, does it end 4 years ago, like, yeah. when we were still in college? And
yeah.
Well, see, it'll evolve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the older you get, you're pushing that, you're gaining more nostalgia as mm-hmm. you go along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in 4 years, stuff from college is going to be nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
You know?
I'm already there, but
I'm still back and being in like, school, oh, so.
I yeah. saw
that. Well, you're wearing a Friends t-shirt, uh-huh, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're wearing Fleetwood Mac.
Fleetwood Mac.
What have you got on?
21 Pilots.
See, y'all are...
we were talking about that.
You were literally wearing your nostalgia on uh-huh. your back.
Yeah.
I was like, we're on point with our t-shirts for our personalities today.
Yeah,
we really are.
For sure.
So, tell the story of how this whole shebang came about.
Okay. It was one dark Christmas night. Time. It was actually December 16th.
No, it wasn't. It was around that.
It was around.
We like to have a get together every year around my birthday. And Reba's birthday is also December and also Christmas is. So we just get together and drink and like play games and give presents and stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of the presents I got was Midnight Sun by Stephanie Meyer, which is Twilight from Edward's perspective. And I had no intention on reading it, but I had a little bit to drink, so I start reading it out loud with my microphones from karaoke, and we recorded it.
And it was amazing.
Yes.
Because we were just, like, talking about, like, we were just cracking jokes the whole time.
Because mm-hmm. it's so stupid.
Yeah, like, it's dumb. We know it's dumb. That's why
but we love it.
Yeah. And so we just kept on talking and cracking jokes, and it was like, what, 2 a.m. by the time we
yeah,
finished?
Yeah.
And it was just great. And I think it was you that's like, we need to start a podcast.
Yeah, it was her.
And then I thought she was, because we were drunk. I mean, I just thought she was running her mouth. And then lo and behold, here we are.
I'm very serious. No matter what mental state I'm in, I'm very serious.
That's when my best thoughts come to me is when I'm drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
I should genius. Buy a boat.
Yeah.
At least you're not like me. At one point, I was drinking and put a lit fire, like what, sparkler in my mouth because I was I'm gonna be Jim. The end of the sparkler was this, but I was like, I'm gonna be Jim Morrison. So at least you don't have those.
Don't
guys.
Do that.
Oh God, don't do that.
That was only one.
Do like drunk shopping on Amazon or something, yeah. you know?
Something safe.
And with the life size cutout of Chewbacca shows up, and just put it in the corner.
Exactly. But no, that was the younger drunk Peyton. Now I've evolved.
You're a more mature.
You just agree to start a podcast.
Yeah, I just agree.
A more
to start
mature a drunk Peyton instead of the young. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have so many questions.
Okay.
Like, why?
Why? We think we're funny, and we think we're full of great information.
Y'all are, but why that damn book? Why that one in particular? Is this a nostalgia kick or what?
Yeah, and it was such like a intricate part in our lives and who we are. It introduced mm-hmm. us to so many different things and like helped bond us in a way.
Because
we would go see the movies together. We would, you know, talk about it together when we were teenagers.
Mm-hmm. I mean, so, it really fully kickstarted us reading a lot when we were younger mm-hmm. too. Yeah.
We were readers, but we weren't like...
Oh, I was not. I hated reading.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
I'm a teacher now, but I hated reading as a kid.
The mm-hmm. summer before sixth grade, which was the year like that came out, I read the Harry Potter books then. So I was still into reading, but this kickstarted it more was when we got into this.
And I will say that the movies definitely made it worse out for us.
made it worse as it pulled you in more?
No. Not me. I hated Robert Pattinson.
And hated still do.
Hated. Yeah. Hate. loathe both him and Kristen Stewart very much so.
I hate her squinty eyes. Look, I worked at a big bookstore, mm-hmm. which is your local. Mm-hmm. And when I worked there, I worked back in the media department mm-hmm. selling DVDs and stuff. Mm-hmm. That big screen TV. And every month we'd get a video in. We'd put on that big screen for an entire month. Guess what we had one month?
Twilight.
Effing Twilight. And to watch her squint and look all angsty and shit for an entire month.
How could you deal with, like, why did that bother you more than the constipation look on Robert Pattinson's face?
Oh, he's just retarded looking. I was giving him a pass. He might be special in the brain or something. I didn't know. Yeah, but on top of that, they also had the motion picture soundtrack on the rotation.
Yes. Well, I liked the soundtrack.
We were on board with the soundtrack.
We are on board with the soundtrack. But I could see where it'd get annoying after rotation 24/7.
Just constantly Hayley Williams just
screaming at me.
Yeah.
About that's what I get when I let my heart win. My heart win or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
The problem with that is I had control of the music mm-hmm. back in the media. Mm-hmm. Like the cabinet was right behind me. And so I found out nights when I was off, the little teens that worked there as their after school job, mm-hmm. they would go back there and just put it on repeat. So they played the Twilight soundtrack all night long. Till 11:30 at night. It was all Twilight all the time. Uh-huh. So yeah, people got kind of fed up with that.
Yeah.
I can understand
that. We put a lock on the cabinet door so they couldn't get to it anymore.
Understand. I would, that would probably drive me nuts. Uh-huh.
So are y'all into like all vampire stuff or y'all y'all did the whole breakdown episode.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We were into vampires a lot at that point in time in our lives. And I still like vampires. Like I still love, Anne Rice and all that. But as far as like, this new vampire book come out, I could care less.
I just like what's popular. Like, I did as a kid, and I still do, and it changes.
I don't know. I've said it before, but I like classic literature. If I can get to read that kind of stuff, that's what I want to read now. I still like my trash, but, like, I just finished The Master and Margarita, which is a very interesting Russian novel. And it's,
See, Tink's listening right now, so she's making notes. She loves mm-hmm. all that uppity, hoity-toity literature stuff.
The Master of Margarita is very good, Tink.
She's typing away right now, I can guarantee you. Looking it up on Amazon.
And it's like...
Or she's already read it, one of the two.
Yeah. And I'll let her borrow my copy. but it's about the devil went down to Moscow in the Stalin regime and, like...
So Charlie Daniels song is what it is?
Well, kind of.
Is there a golden fiddle involved in this?
No. But he creates havoc wherever he goes, and he goes to do a magic trick, and it's just a bunch of craziness, and, like, there's a subplot with, like, a writer that's writing about Pontius Pilate, and it's just, I don't know, it's interesting, and I love it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What do you like reading, Reba?
It depends. Here and there, just things that we've read previously is what I'm still stuck on, but like there's like contemporary novels that we've talked about. I cannot think of any titles off the top of my head. I read some of those too, mm-hmm. but because of school, I haven't read that much in like a few years. So
Reba's a grad student, so she don't have time.
Bless her. Jeez.
I have time for myself.
Well, I mean, maybe being on the road a lot with my job, mm-hmm. I drive on third shift and everything. Mm-hmm. I've used audiobooks sometimes. I use a lot of podcasts. Mm-hmm. It's like my crutch. Mm-hmm. But I've listened to some audiobooks and stuff. Is there any particular genre y'all like in particular?
I like anything with romance. So, like...
Do I need to get you a Harlequin gift card or something?
No, not like that kind.
Not trash romance.
Well,
YA romance.
Like, YA romance. I've been getting into, like, new adult, which is, like, 18 to 24 years old, because I'm in that range.
That's in your wheelhouse, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I've been reading a lot of that this past year.
I think we're all me and you, anyway, are stuck in that range. Peyton, not so much, but...
Anything and
she's
anything.
Reading shit from the 1700s.
Yeah, I know.
No, thank you.
She's going backwards in time.
It's a must for me. I'm a nerd. I like that. I like knowing that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I did the vampire book breakdown mm-hmm. on one of your recent episodes. Mm-hmm. Vampire movies, yes or no?
Yes for me, but not many.
It depends.
No.
I mean, I've watched some that aren't book related. Like, what was it? Daybreakers? Like, I don't know how long ago that came out. Mm-hmm. That was a vampire virus kind of movie, which was interesting. But, like, I don't particularly go, oh, it's a vampire movie. Let's watch. But it just depends what it is.
Right.
I don't think I've watched any.
Have you watched What We Do in the Shadows?
No.
The TV show?
No.
Go home tonight. And start watching What We Do in the Shadows. It's like a mix of The Office and Interview with a Vampire.
Oh,
that sounds right up my alley.
It really does.
It's a documentary, mm-hmm. or a mockumentary, mm-hmm. following these three vampires, there's four of them, but one isn't a regular vampire. Mm-hmm. He's a psychic vampire. So he, like, feeds off people's, you know,
energy.
He tries to bore people to death when it boils down to. But one of them is Nandor the Relentless from the 1200s. Mm-hmm. He was like a big conqueror and stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, and he has a familiar who's a main player on the show. And some things happen with the familiar that are fantastic. The new season starts like September 3rd, I think.
Okay.
There's two seasons already up. Mm-hmm. There was a movie also, mm-hmm. but it's a different cast for the movie.
Yeah.
The movie came out and they started doing this show. And the show, mm-hmm. Tink drives me up the wall, walking around the house, quoting this show. There's one part in particular in it. It's in the first episode. And she was a wreck. She was crying, laughing. I was like, it's not that funny. It's hilarious. I'm like, it was funny, but it's not mm-hmm. like piss your pants like she was doing funny.
Well, sometimes it just hits you, right? Like,
no, it still goes on. She sends me the gift from that very single scene all the time.
It's like, I can relate back to that because nobody thinks it's as funny as I do on New Girl, where they find out that Winston is colorblind.
Oh, I love that.
I love it too, but they find out Winston is colorblind and he's a black guy. And he's like,
shoes are brown. What color are you?
And like the look that Winston gives, he's like, he has to look up and like think about it really hard. It's great.
That you need to watch What We Do in the Shadows.
Okay.
It's if you have Hulu, uh-huh. it's on Hulu. It comes on FX. And the new episodes, they do live, like for satellite or cable mm-hmm. users. And mm-hmm. then they come out the next day on Hulu.
Yeah.
But you really, 30-minute episodes, I think there's 10 episodes a season maybe. Mm-hmm. You can blow through it in no time. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good.
I thought, I saw the previews for it before it come out, and I was like, oh, that looks interesting, and then I completely forgot about it.
I forgot what, I heard something about it on probably a podcast, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, okay, I'll have to check it out. I was home one night, and I was like, I got nothing to watch, and I was looking through Hulu, like, oh, I've heard about this, turned it on. Yeah, and I lost my shit. It was really good. Mm-hmm. It's made, I like the awkward, mm-hmm. Uncomfortable,
yeah,
funny from The Office.
Yeah, yeah, you know? Dry humor.
Yes, so that really that hit me good. The way it was shot, like the documentary style, without a damn laugh track every 5 seconds.
Oh, can't stand
I hate laugh tracks.
Can't stand it. I can't watch her show.
Because I can't watch Friends either.
Because of the laugh track.
And Mom thinks it's the greatest show ever made among ever.
I've been rewatching it lately, so.
Even like, I grew up watching Seinfeld. Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up watching Seinfeld and Friends. Not so much Friends. I just had to bear that.
Yeah.
But I went back and watched Seinfeld now, and there are episodes that really stand up, and there are some you're like, this is a steaming pile of shit. Mm-hmm. This is not done very well.
With a laugh track on it.
Yeah. Now I can't hardly, after watching The Office, mm-hmm. I have a hard time watching anything with a laugh track to it. Mm-hmm. It drives me up the wall.
I've noticed that it does bother me, like, listening to the laugh track. And I watched a YouTube video on somebody doing how funny a show actually was.
I saw they would remove laugh tracks like from the Big mm-hmm. Bang Theory. Mm-hmm. It's just like,
it's just
terrible.
Yeah.
There's this show that I started watching. It has Annie Murphy from Schitt's Creek in it. It's called Kevin Can Go F Himself. And it's like part comedy with the laugh track and part like really dark drama. She wants to kill her husband. And that show, it's a good recommendation.
What's it called again?
Kevin Can Go F Himself.
Okay. You know where you can find it? Is it on Netflix?
I think it's
Hulu or?
I don't know, because I was watching it illegally on my So I think it's done by AMC,
okay.
maybe.
Kevin can go F himself. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm.
And that was, who did she play on Schitt's
Alexis.
Creek? Alexis. Okay.
But it's a very different role. But it's funny because whenever it's his perspective, he's like a super goofy guy like Kevin. Mm-hmm. And it's the laugh track, like stage comedy. But whenever it's her perspective, it goes dark. So it'll start like they're in the room. It's the stage comedy. She walks out the door and it goes dark. And like it's regular TV, like drama, handheld camera, whatever. I don't know. TV.
Wow.
But that's where the laugh track is so like obvious, and I'm like, this is so annoying. With other shows, I don't notice it, but with that one, I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't even funny right now. But the show itself is good.
Reba, what's your recommendations? Since we're all giving them out now.
I don't really have any recommendations unless you recommend Korean dramas, but like, because that's what I've been watching for a while now.
You know, I've only watched one Korean movie or anything. It would watch Parasite when it came out. Mm-hmm. And that was a damn good movie. Mm-hmm. And I hate subtitles. Mm-hmm. Like last night, I deleted and reinstalled Hulu because the subtitles wouldn't cut off. That's how much I went through the whole process of deleting the app, reinstalling it, signing back in with a password we couldn't remember. We figured it out. I hate subtitles, but mm-hmm. I sat through Parasite. It was really, really good.
I haven't seen Parasite, but it was on my list to watch.
You need to watch it. It's really well done. I mean, well shot, well directed, mm-hmm. great script. If it can keep my attention, mm-hmm. it'll be right. You're going to be like in like 1,000 times more than I was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never got into the anime thing.
Well, I
maybe it's before my time. Maybe I'm just old.
Well, Astro Boy came out in like the 30s. So
yeah.
So are you a vampire? I think it really got popular with our generation.
I think it's accessibility.
Yeah.
That too.
It really wasn't it was sort of accessible like during my college years. Mm-hmm. I think Adult Swim started doing the thing on Saturday night.
That's where I watched most months.
Yeah, both of us, same.
I remember after I finished college, you could get like the anime videos at FYE and Circuit City back like when they existed.
Yeah. I remember FYE.
Yeah, is it even around anymore?
No, mm-hmm. I don't think so. At least not here anyway.
I'm pretty sure it's shut down, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to go to a store to buy music and movies now?
Yeah.
The thought's kind of foreign. It's so weird that it happened like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's. I remember going to Circuit City to get my CDs because they were $12 there.
Yeah.
Even new releases were $12 Circuit City. So that's where I always went to buy new CDs. Mm-hmm. And now, your damn kids have got it too easy. You get your you get your damn phone machines out and you tap two buttons and you can download whatever you want. We had to go out and find our music. I mean, y'all have seen a change in the world. Mm-hmm. And y'all are in your 20s?
Yeah.
Early 20s?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm 40. I've seen a lot. Think about my mom, who's 60. Mm-hmm. You know, she's seen so much change. You know? Mm-hmm. She went from horse and buggies to cars. You know? There's like you just said, you really don't have anything to recommend. Well, number one, you're going through grad school.
Yeah.
But now there's so much content pumped out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And not just like by networks. They're competing like with YouTube.
Yeah.
Independent creators like we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's y'all disagree with everything people say in unison.
It's out of habit.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's so we can show we're listening. We agree though.
Yeah. Because I mean it's so weird to me, you know.
Well, I mean, it's changed so much since we were alive. I mean, I couldn't imagine.
Dead now? Are you vampires? No,
since we've been alive.
Yeah, we're ghosts on this show.
Yes. Been watching a lot of stuff about ghosts.
Of course you have.
Been watching a lot of stuff just in general because my kids are back in school and I can just like hang out at the house. Thing. Yeah. I don't have kids. I work at a daycare, but.
All 15 of your kids.
Yeah.
Now, but what were you saying? Go ahead, about things changing.
But I mean, like, I was watching something and they're like, y'all have no idea about phone booths or anything, and I'm like, I remember that being there. I used a phone booth one time. I just called my mom up at Walmart one time just to call her because I wanted, you know,
I'm using a phone booth.
Yeah. I was five, but I did it.
You know, that was like a normal thing for my generation in high school.
Yeah,
was I'm gonna be late, I better get find a phone booth right quick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know, it's y'all never experienced any of that.
No. I had a cell phone at like 11. Mm-hmm. What did you?
I had one in third, fourth grade.
I
lost it and never had it again until high school.
I was so jealous.
Because my parents couldn't afford to pay for it. So
Reba was like, I have a cell phone.
Yeah.
And I was like, whatever.
And now I don't. See you in high school.
But yeah, it's strange. I watch stuff and I'm like, that's not accurate to teens right now because they don't have their phone in their hand. Or that's not accurate to 20-year-olds because they don't have their phone in
their hand. There's no way there should be so many miscommunication storylines on teen TV. Like, Riverdale would not happen, if we're being honest.
Riverdale is just...
Well, other reasons. But they would be able to contact each other more, like social media. Like,
I tried watching Riverdale. You should be proud of me. I made it through half the first episode. And I said, this is horseshit.
Kind of like
it wasn't made for me though.
Yeah,
it wasn't made for a. Like,
I'm not
30,
sure
30,
if
40,
it was made for me.
I don't think it's made for anybody.
So who's it made for? Nobody.
Like the teenagers today, I guess. Yeah, like, they might watch it. I don't know any teenagers, but
most of us. Well, me and you, Caitlin, got through like the first season. After that, we were done.
Yeah, that's how I was. I was like, and I binged watched it. I wasn't even paying attention because y'all know I can't keep track of stuff if I'm, you know. Yeah.
Or, like, I watched Gossip Girl when I was, like, 16, but seeing the new show on HBO Max, I'm like, this is so dumb. I would never watch this.
We had a That's Dumb experience last night. Tink got done working, and we got Chinese last night. It was my one cheat day. I was so happy to get Chinese food. I was thrilled. The rednecks drive this high.
Of course.
I went and got Chinese food and got back. I was like, we need to try the new Suicide Squad. Mm-hmm. Watch the first one. Mm-hmm. Dog shit. But the new one is done by James Gunn. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, maybe he's looking a little Guardians of the Galaxy flavor in there. Maybe it'll do something. We got about an hour into it. I look at her and I say, are you watching this? She's like, no, I'm bored as shit. Cut this off then. Say something. Well, I thought you were watching. No, hell, it was horrible.
Yeah.
There's so much shit going on. I was like, and why is John Cena half naked? And why? Oh, I got her good. When they started going through, like, you know, introducing the characters or whatever, they go to the prison and they get Idris Elba. Mm-hmm. And they're walking by this jail cell and there's John Cena. Mm-hmm. Tink goes, it's John Cena. I said, I don't see him. And she goes, he's right. You son of a bitch. I mean, like, it took her a second, but I got her. Oh, I got her. I was so proud of myself. There's so much content now, and honestly, three quarters of it does not interest me. And when I was a kid, I would die for this.
Yeah.
You know, we had our three standard channels around here, four.
Yeah.
You got public broadcasting, which no one does. And, you know, you might get like WGN or TBS. Mm-hmm. There was really... God forbid the president come on TV.
Oh, yeah.
You're screwed.
Yeah.
That's all you're going to watch. And so now, you know, as a 40-year-old, I've got Netflix, I got Hulu, I got HBO Max, I got YouTube, which is, they say they upload 60 hours of content every second on YouTube now. There's so much. How can you? Something has got to really grab you, to get you to stick with it.
Yeah.
And those shows are few and far between, in my opinion.
They are.
Did y'all watch Game of Thrones?
Yeah. I watched the first like four seasons of it.
I think that's about where I stopped.
I watched only the first season, so
I had to watch it illegally, and I stopped.
You were.
I also watched it illegally.
My gosh.
It was before like HBO Max and stuff.
Yeah. I did not because I bought them during the Thanksgiving sale at Walmart for $10 every year on DVD.
Gold star for Reba. I'm all for stealing content.
I mean, there's other stuff that all three of us watch illegally, but
what stopped you at season four? You just got tired of it or just didn't go back or?
Yeah, I get tired of things around that time on most shows. Mm-hmm. And then I forgot where I was and I was watching illegally, which doesn't tell you where you stop. So I just, I don't know what was happening. I would have to rewatch it from the beginning if I wanted to continue.
And see, like, I think everything peaks at about season four, and then it just kind of falls off.
Some shows, season two, I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I started watching it right when season three had just ended. Mm-hmm. And I plowed through all three seasons in about 3 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just, cranked them out, you know. And then Tink got involved in it. And so then we were emotionally involved in it as a family. And then season eight, what the last one was?
It happened. It was eight.
And we about had a divorce over it. It affected everyone in our family. It affected our friends. You know, I should have sent D&D a bill for our divorce counseling. I was so disappointed in that show. When it went off, yeah. I said, what? What just happened? What did I just see?
And did they not? I could be wrong, but I don't think it had a book to it.
No.
No, he's still writing.
Yeah.
Still writing. Yeah. Yeah.
He's going to be dead.
Yeah.
Oh. Don't tease me like that.
We'll never know what happens.
Well, see, I kind of, okay, so Game of Thrones follows history.
Right.
Actually,
Wars
of the Roses. And so I was like, I had an idea of what was going to happen. And they completely went the opposite way in it. So I kind of just pretend that that's what actually happened.
Make up my own little story.
Fan fiction.
Yeah.
No, what drives me up the wall about it is that they got to like season six or seven. Mm-hmm. I think it was eight seasons, I believe.
It was.
Thank you.
She's our fact checker.
The one lady who's watched one season. There were eight, sir. Thank you.
I remember how disappointed everyone was on social media for
season
eight.
Oh, you heard
all
the bellyache.
Yeah, so even though I didn't watch it, I knew people were disappointed.
So, yeah, like they wanted to do that show. I think HBO was asking for 12 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And George Martin said we could actually do it in 15.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was a cash cow.
Yeah.
That show, the merchandise behind it, you know, it could have kept rolling. And D&D, the two showrunners,
got
offered the new Star Wars movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they were wanting to wrap this shit up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that eighth season, to use a country term, was like putting 20 pounds of shit in a 10-pound bag.
Yeah.
They were just stuffing everything in there, fast forward in time, with no explanation whatsoever.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody's in the north and all of a sudden they're in King's Landing, just like teleported.
Yeah.
You know? They just shat all over that entire show. And then they lost the Star Wars jobs. And I was like, good.
That's what
justice
you
served.
That's what you get for doing that.
That's right. You could have had this job for years. Yeah. You just fucked it all up. But I was trying to think what else happened here recently. Y'all are Office fans? Like The Office?
Yeah. Reba?
Me? Not so much.
Okay. Oh my. Get out.
I was like, too busy with her K dramas.
Oh yeah, I forgot.
She's and grad
Korean
school.
Girl. What you said earlier about how most shows fall off after like season four.
Mm-hmm.
The Office was about season six.
Oh yeah.
Whenever. Yeah. Pam revealed herself to be the big bitch she is. The show went downhill.
Yeah, it did.
She starts banging the sound guy. Everything goes to hell.
Yeah.
And when Michael left, that was the big
thing. I think Michael leaving just made it unstable. And then it just kind of.
But they had a lot of great guests on it. People shit on Will Ferrell's three episodes there.
Yeah.
I liked them though. Maybe I'm a glutton for punishment.
It was, I wasn't a fan of them, but.
How about Timothy Olyphant as Danny Cordray?
I love Timothy Olyphant.
I do too. We talked about it last week on the show, just in passing. Yeah, but I started rewatching Deadwood about 2-3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Watching it near my off weeks. Timothy Olyphant, fantastic. That's who he is. He's a fantastic actor.
I have been meaning to start that, and I haven't. But like, I watched Justified religiously.
Tink did too. I never got into it.
I don't know. I love him and
Walter Goggins.
Walter Goggins. Yeah. I mean, he's a phenomenal actor too, and I feel like they just played well off of each other. And I don't know. I also like the writing, especially since they used big words for Southern people, because that's a thing that I don't see a lot on shows. And I'm like, yes, thank you.
We have three, vocabulary.
Three syllables. That's great.
So. Have y'all started looking at what you're going to do next?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We record next week, actually.
Yep.
Y'all want to reveal it? Or?
Yeah, we...
We've talked about it.
We talked about it. We're going to start on Shiver, which is... You wouldn't have heard of it. It's like,
you saw the wheels turning in my head. You're like, you stop.
I think I saw, like, the week of its publication, it only sold, which I say only, but like 100,000 copies. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, not that many people have read it.
That was mm-hmm. very low key compared to Twilight.
Yeah. I don't even know how good it is, like, because I read it whenever I was young. And so
it's like young adult stuff also?
Yes. It was written by Maggie Stiefvater, and it's mm-hmm. Actually called the Mercy Fall Werewolves.
The Wolves of Mercy Falls
series. It's a 3-book series. And we're going to go over the whole series. We're not going to cover book 4, which is kind of like an offshoot. And
it's about another set of characters cash that grab. Are in the book. Yeah,
it's cash grab. Yeah. But Maggie Stiefvater has like way more popular books, mm-hmm. but these are the ones we read
this
as
kids. This is like her first series that not a lot of people have read, but we read it.
Yeah. So it's going to be a bit different. I've already started on my notes, which are a lot different than they were last time mm-hmm. because it's going to be like storytelling format more so than just, you know, bullet points.
Not that many people know this story compared to maybe our listeners who knew Twilight.
Yeah, and everyone knows Edward and Bella. Like, if you don't, you know enough about them to know, like, okay, Edward's
like
gonna
that person you're friends with on Facebook and you see them post and you're like, oh them again.
Yeah.
That makes sense why they would post that.
That's great.
Yeah. Edward's done fucked up shit again. I mean, like,
damn it, Edward.
He's watching her sleep again.
I mean, like, that was what? Every other chapter? Yeah. Edward's watching her sleep.
You know, Tink read them as uh-huh. they came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw the books in your house.
Yeah. They're not there by my choice. They make really good kindling, in my opinion. And she's like, oh. I was like, so when they gonna fuck? And she's like, It's a young adult's book. And Stephanie Myers is Mormon. I'm like, oh, that's a problem. That's the problem.
Yep.
You're reading Mormon books.
And, I mean, we've talked about the dress code on there. Like, the outfits they wore, the khakis with the white.
Shirts and khakis.
Edward and Bella's fashion taste.
Like they're always on a mission. A literal
They dress alike mission. On their first date. They're wearing the same outfit. And I'm like, this is horrible. Why is this happening? Stephanie, why?
Khakis with a white sleeveless button up and a tan sweater and clogs. That's what they're both wearing.
The clogs are not in the book, but they're canon. It happens.
They're straight out of Independence, Missouri, headed to Utah. Just, you know, that town up there, the town that's mm-hmm. shot in, they've made like a lot of money off that.
They're still making money off of it.
I mean, like, I kind of wanted us to go up there and, like, take pictures.
We're not going to payroll your vacation to Forks.
I was going to try to talk them into it, but I was like, no. But we watched a movie, and we talked about it on the show that was, like, Destination Forks, and it talked about the people there.
There's two of them. We haven't watched the other one.
Oh, is there two?
Yes, there's one that came with New Moon and one that came with Eclipse. Oh, God.
Fact checker. You've got one. Checker.
But, like, we were watching, and I was like, man, I gotta really respect these people because they do not give a fuck about Twilight, but they're just
up with that shit. Yeah.
They are making money off of it. No, they're like, I heart Edward t-shirts, and, like, I'm like, y'all know it's right. Y'all are getting this.
Well, like, there's like a town in Georgia mm-hmm. where they shot a lot of the scenes from The Walking Dead,
and mm-hmm. yeah,
they do the same thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was another one too. Something where they were Supernatural was set, maybe, or some town related to Supernatural.
Wichita, Kansas.
I can't remember. No, this was like
I think I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember where it is.
Or maybe they shot a lot of it there or something, and they've redone the whole town to look like the show. What's that?
Oh my God, that's too much.
Speaking of which, your mama's from Natchitoches.
Yeah, and her favorite movie is Steel Magnolias. So, you know.
What's Natchitoches?
It's Natchitoches, Louisiana. It's where Steel Magnolias was.
Oh, you mean Nacogdoches?
Yes. It's pronounced Natchitoches.
No, it's not! No, I'm just joking.
I have family from there.
Excuse me. So is that town the same way? Is it all still Magnolia down?
There is like a museum, I know, but
And like a street you go down?
I guess. I don't know. I went there before I even knew what Steel Magnolias was, so I don't know. I'm not the person to ask.
You know what she reminds me of?
Who?
Do you know who I'm thinking of?
Yeah.
Who?
Nancy?
Yes, exactly. And yeah. She will not come on this show. I've begged her. Because you remind me so much of her. I mean, a lot. It's scary.
Yeah. I was thinking that as you were like looking at her.
You said I will turn in? Yeah. She looks like somebody. Oh, I know who it is now.
Yeah. Y'all are both redheaded.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but it's like,
they talk alike. And
glasses.
Yeah.
Facial shape. The whole deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wouldn't have put it together until I saw you. Like,
my eyes split looking at her, like, God, who is she? Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, I grew up with her and I grew up with Nancy, so it just, they were two separate people to me. But yeah, I could see it. I definitely, like, as you were talking, I was like, yeah, I see it now.
Will you come on my show again?
Sure.
Good. I got a fake Nancy. Suck it, Nancy. Judd, I got your wife here. I mean, I'm going to take a picture before I leave so I can show my wife, because she'll be like, her jaw's going to drop, I swear. Yeah, usually I have a video, my laptop over here, mm-hmm. and I video stream it on Telegram while I'm recording it. But since y'all had to have four people in here, yes. Thanks, Reba. Okay. You're the one blocking the spot. Now, like every Monday night when me and Judd and Harpoon record, what we would set it up over there, and people ask questions. Mm-hmm. Tink's listening. My buddy Jay's listening right now. Mm-hmm. So, and people, when it's us three in here, we're usually a couple beers in.
Yeah. You know.
I didn't ask you if I wanted something. You want something to drink? Are y'all good?
I'm good right now.
Okay. Good deal. If you ever need to like take a break or something, we can stop for a minute. It's no big deal. Because I cut all this out.
Yeah, we do too. I get phone calls from mom Caitlin. Halfway through all the time. Yeah, Caitlin's our editor. She works with all that stuff, and we're just there and we talk. And
yeah, I text you about what did you use Anchor for your editing?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Or like
I use Audacity for the editing and then I upload on Anchor.
High five! Boom! Yeah.
That just works for me. I had to navigate through it, and then I have to relearn every time I edit because I forget what I'm doing. Well, but
I do my editing, and then I send it to my corporate overlord, Addison, who's like over our network, and he uploads all of it to our servers. Okay. So, yeah. I went to look at it, like, prices for hosting and stuff. I'm like, Addison, can I get on your network? He's like, sure. No big deal. Yeah, I like Audacity, too. I was telling her they had a patch coming out for 3.0, I think.
Okay.
And they're going to start tracking data on it. Mm. I didn't like that. I'm a private guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what they're going to get from my podcast. Just
yeah,
dick jokes. That's mostly what it is. So you're doing the Shiver thing next.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all going to do just books? Are y'all doing movies and
stuff?
We don't
know yet. We haven't decided. We are still infants in this whole podcast thing.
We went back and forth talking about, do we want to do just books, or like how much other media do we want to cover?
We're just happy it's not a Twilight podcast. Yeah. I'm sure everyone else is too.
Yeah, everybody was like, are y'all still on Twilight? Are y'all going to change it? Is it just going to be about Twilight? And I'm like,
Look, I'm a 40-year-old man, and I think I listened to every episode, and I had no clue what was going on, but it was funny. I thought it was hilarious. Y'all's takes on it was funny.
Thank you.
I could at least enjoy, because, you know, I'm going through so many podcasts when I'm working. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, God, another dictator podcast? What am I doing? Y'all listen to a lot of podcasts yourself?
I listen to a few.
Yeah, I listen to a couple. I listen to a lot of Bachelor podcasts.
Like the show?
Yes. Oh, like they child. Just talk about the show. And
she's obsessed with The Bachelor.
A little bit.
I only listen to one, but not very much of it. Just occasionally here and there. And
is it about K-pop?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's Crime Junkies.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
I listen to your show.
Oh, so well, thank you.
I'm happy to be here.
God damn.
And I listen to What We Missed in History Class, or What You Missed in History Class.
I think, yeah, Tink listens to that one.
Love it.
They're too short for me.
Are they? Like
30 minutes.
See, I don't have that much time.
I've got all night to listen to stuff.
Yeah. And then True Crime Garage.
I like those guys.
I love them. Yeah. That's the two I mainly listen to. And then there was one that I'm absolutely in love with, but it was only one season. It was Shit Town.
I listen to that one.
I was obsessed.
It was kind of like 3 or 4 years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I binged the entire thing, and I feel like everybody needs to.
It was really good.
It was really good, and I mean, there's so many things that's left unanswered.
I felt terrible for that guy.
Oh, yeah. What is Shit Town?
It's about Shit Town in Alabama.
Yeah, Shit Town, Alabama.
I think you've told me about that, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
I feel like I've heard about this, too.
It's like this.
We listen very well, you know.
Yeah. That's what happens when you have a friendship that lasts over a decade. You kind of just like...
It all just kind of meshes together.
It meshes together.
Like marriage. Yeah.
We only halfway pay attention to what each of us says.
Yeah, I'm like, when I really need them to pay attention, okay, look me in the eyes. We're going to do...
Like we're children.
Yeah. Let's talk.
But Shit Town is about this guy in Alabama, and he's essentially a genius. Like, seriously a genius. Okay. And he's, like, older, and he calls up this guy that has his own podcast, and I don't remember what all he'd done before that, but he had emailed him and done all this stuff and was like, you need to come to this town, there's been a murder and they're covering it up and everything, and you get there and there wasn't a murder, and like this guy's just like, well, I'm just gonna follow him around, I guess, because it's
he
just
was
like,
a very flamboyant gentleman.
Yes, I know a guy that reminds me of him, and it terrifies me. And you sit there, and I mean, he has like recordings of this guy and stuff, like him talking, and you're just like, holy cow. Like, and I mean, what he's saying, like, you can tell that, like, he talks about space at one point, and he's just going on this big, long tangent, and you're like, he is actually a genius. Like, I mean, it's crazy, but it was so entertaining, and I don't know. It reminded me of here, and then it didn't remind me of here, and it's like...
I saw a lot of the comparisons with it, because it's just a small southern town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got one guy who feels trapped in it, you know, he just won't leave, won't go. Have you listened to Culpable?
My mom has been getting everybody on Culpable, but haven't started on it yet.
Have y'all heard it?
No.
Heard of it?
No, I've never heard of it.
It's from Meridian, Mississippi.
Yeah.
That his name was Christian. I'm going to butcher his last name. Andranakio.
I heard the gasp. Saw a YouTube video, I think, about that.
I mean,
Kendall Ray did one.
Yeah.
She's a like true crime YouTuber. I think I watched that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
he committed suicide.
Yeah.
Big air quotes there. But they found him in the tub, like with his head like laid over in the tub. And the gun he supposedly used was tucked behind his left leg, and the bullet magically bounced off the tub and went into the wall behind him.
And the blood spatter wasn't right.
Blood spatter was on the outside of the door that was supposedly closed when he committed suicide. And there's a whole lot of, I mean, we've all heard of tomfoolery.
Yeah.
This was tomfoolery's cousin, Tim Fuckery.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that going on. It was, it went all the way to the DA.
Yeah.
And then into the MBI and then to the Attorney General's office. There was a lot of messed up stuff. You need to, it's like a 15-part podcast, I think. I think I listened to it. I listened through it, I think, three times.
Okay.
It's really interesting. I listened to the Real Dictators, which is a really well done. It's a podcast about various dictators. They did one like on the early life of Hitler. They did one on Papa Dr. Bo out of Haiti. They just finished one on Muammar Gaddafi, which, I mean, I don't even know who that is.
No.
Yeah.
I'm just nodding.
Caitlin's not a history nerd.
Okay. No. And it's if you're like a very non-biased, not just the facts of the history, if you're into history, which apparently you're not.
No. Here and there for me, here and there.
Your Mom's House with Tom Segura and his wife, Christina. It's a comedy podcast. It's hilarious. What's my other big one I listen to? Of course, the guys here on our network, listen to all of them. I just tear through so much of it.
Yeah.
And I'm tired of a lot of the Wondery stuff. Business Wars. I love Business Wars podcast, but they'll put like episodes, like first episode of, I'm like, I don't want to listen to that shit. If I want to listen to it, stop putting it in my feed, me up the wall. I'm thankful for podcasting, not only for myself, but even before I started my own thing. I listened to so many of them.
Yeah.
And the guys from Give That Some Thought, who were the ones on our network, they invited me on their show once, and I had a blast doing it. And I was like, well, maybe I could do one. Well, I know some assholes I can get together and do this with on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, with my job, I work 7 days and I'm off for 7 days. Mm-hmm. So I've got a whole week to try to schedule people in. So I was talking to somebody the other day about the whole nostalgia thing. Mm-hmm. It's a very powerful drug.
Yeah, definitely.
Reba's eyes got big. She's like, it's a hell of a drug.
Reba buys everything nostalgic.
Not everything, but a good bit of things. Says me with a Rugrats sweatshirt in my bag. Yeah.
See, y'all are like two generations past me. Mm-hmm. Y'all are like my nephew's age. Mm-hmm. You know, he grew up with Rugrats and Blue's Clues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Your Blue's Clues sweatshirt too?
Okay. I don't have anything Blue's Clues, but I did watch Blue's Clues.
We got to fix that. I'm getting you the full body blue costume. Lindsay. Yeah. For like Halloween this year, you're going as blue and you're going to like it.
I'll be magenta.
Or else.
Yes.
Or who?
Or else.
Or else.
I was threatening her.
I was like, or who else? I missed that. So go ahead.
I was going to say, she's going to be magenta. And
we'll just match. Who are you going to be
then? I don't know. Green one?
I'll be Steve.
You can be the guy. Yeah.
I want to be Steve. You
can be Steve. The other guy that comes on Paprika, that no one likes. But nobody likes. You can be Paprika. Okay. You can be the mailbox.
Oh, come on. Don't delegate her to the mailbox.
I'm the star. I want to be the Paprika.
Mail. My nephew used to watch it at the end. They're saying bye to everybody. He would get teary-eyed in my pie.
Reminds me of my brother Josh. Like, he was obsessed with Blue's Clues. Had a Blue's Clues room, had a Blue's Clues doll. Like, that's how he was every time.
I didn't even have a themed room when I was younger. I got all secondhand stuff from my boy cousins. So.
Your boy cousins?
Like, I had Power Ranger bedding. Which, I mean, I like the Power Rangers, but still...
That's neither here nor there. I had Smurf bedding growing up.
Smurfs.
Tells you how old I am.
I watched it on Boomerang, though. So
I mean, same.
So what's happening over in Korea right now?
I mean, I don't
You're
know.
Our other, expert,
than they're, other than they're all just kind of doing their own thing because they're quarantining again. But like,
yes, it was really bad over there. And their quarantine's like super strict.
Yeah,
super strict.
Yeah, it's very strict.
They did not fuck around, as the kids say.
No.
they locked that stuff down. I've got a friend of mine who immigrated to the U.S. when he was three from Korea. Lives up in D.C. And we used to game a lot together. He told me, he's like, you know, he said, you ought to go to Korea. Or not even go. He said, you ought to start teaching English to Koreans online. I'm like, don't nobody over there wants their kid to sound like a damn hillbilly. He's like, no. He goes, I was like, I can't even speak English, much less tape. He's like, no, it's not that. He said, these really rich people in Korea want their kids to sound American. Mm-hmm. So it's all really dialect stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, how much? He's like,
a lot.
Like 60 grand in 6 months. Yeah. I'm like, sign me up, man.
You can easily get a visa there to teach English. Like,
yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
My friend, she was doing that over the summer. She's going back to grad school, and she's doing it for Chinese kids. But she had to be up at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, it's like a 14-hour time difference between here and Korea. Yeah, so.
Or it ended at 3 a.m. I don't know, but it was like crazy hours. And I'm one of those people. I have to be asleep at about 10, 11 o'clock.
We were planning this. I was like, so. How late y'all want to do this? You're like, oh, I go to bed with the chickens. I need to get there early.
Yeah, I can't do it. I can't. Like, I physically cannot be in bed after, like, 7 a.m., 8 a.m.
You got to get up and go.
I got to get up and go.
Well, it's kind of like an undergrad. We could stay at 1, 2 in the morning. Now that we're out of undergrad, nope.
I can't
make it past midnight.
I can't. I mean, like, even if I go to bed at 2 in the morning, I'm getting up at 8. Like, I cannot physically make myself stay in bed.
Something's wrong with your wiring.
It is. I know. I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, Conan did an episode, or did, like, a series of episodes in Korea, in South Korea, went to Seoul. And he went to one of their computer cafes. I forgot, something bang. What they call it. Anyway, they're all in there playing, you know,
yeah,
Warcraft and stuff, you know,
yeah,
building pylons. And he was talking to this kid next to him, and the kid sounded American.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, holy shit. Tank's like, his English is really good. It is. Yeah. I mean, he sounded like he was like from California or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he grew up, I was like, damn.
Yeah.
But I guess they're so connected to us from the war and us, you know, helping them build back and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've always heard that like Korean kids want to wear jeans, wear t-shirts. They want to be almost American photocopies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I could see that. I feel like, back to the accent thing and everything, I feel like it's because we're all so interconnected. I feel like Southerners are going to lose our accents. We already...
To a point.
Yeah. Yeah. I already see it happening through the generations. Like, if you listen...
I don't.
You don't really count.
No, like, kids that I work with, their Southern accents.
Oh,
that's just from not being around other people as much. Yeah.
Yeah, because it'll be thick when they're kids, like when they're little, but when they get older, they grow out of it. Because
even myself, I'm like that. Like recordings we made when we were younger, I sounded really Southern, but now I don't sound as Southern as I used to.
You don't sound Southern at all. See, mine was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think mine's as bad now, but I moved like to Missouri for a little while and then up to New Hampshire for like 9 months. I lost a lot of mine from talking to people. I was going to college in Missouri, talking to people from all around the country.
Yeah.
I lost a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the guys in New Hampshire used to make fun of me. I'd be on the phone with mom or something. I'm like, oh, God, he's on the phone with his mom. We can hear it coming out of him, you know, like it's bleeding out of you.
Yeah, see, I feel like that's my problem. I feel like my accent has gotten thicker because I work with people, and I say it's the damn area. Because... they are all from that area, and they all sound like it. Mm-hmm. And my boss is the world's worst. Like, why are you gonna do no? You know, she even texts like that. It's, but so my accent.
My dad texts in his accent too. He does.
But I'm like, I've noticed because I'm around her so much, I will say stuff like she says stuff, and I'm like, Lord, I used to not sound this bad. But yeah, it's rough with them. And then I find it so interesting how we're separated by water from a certain town.
Right.
And if you go to that town, like I've been to like birthday parties and stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, people were drinking and stuff, and that affects it. But I could not understand anybody there. I had to get mom to translate for me because she's from there. Like, they'd talk to me, and I'd be like, what'd they say?
Well, yeah, like, even in our state.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
You can divide our state really into, like, five regions.
Mm-hmm.
And every one of them, you know, the accent we have here and then just a couple hours south of us is totally different.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
You know, and all that has to go back to, it can be culture.
Yeah.
You know, even on the coast,
mm-hmm.
it's a totally different world than it is up here.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Yeah. You know, and then you go, like, southern Louisiana, like, super southern Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole other dialect.
Yeah, it is.
You know, those people look like true to life, 100% in their blood Cajun people.
Mm-hmm.
They speak with that heavy French.
Mm-hmm.
Creole southern accent mesh they do.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about it here one night when I had Brandy on because she was a chef in New Orleans for a while.
I'm kind of jealous of her, by the way.
I am too. She's living the dream. I was trying to get her on this week and she's like, oh, I'm out of town. I'm like, oh, we'll go figure. But we, like, when you travel like to Jamaica, they have like their patois, it's like a pigeon language, it's just a mesh up of Spanish, English, and Portuguese all kind of rolled up.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the Bahamas, you don't hear them speak that to like tourists, but to one another, they speak their own dialect.
Yeah.
So I asked him he's like, oh, it's called, he named it after what it's called now. It's like a traditional dialect or language in the Bahamas.
Yeah. I think there's a town in South Carolina where there was a like cluster of slaves that come from there, and they call it like Gullah Gullah or something like that.
They are a protected a protected class like Native Americans or anything. Mm-hmm. They can trace their lineage back like in on the Santees, like right there on the coast. A bunch of them had fled mm-hmm. for freedom and hid out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have their own dialect.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I mean, it's interesting. Like the, I don't know. I'm a linguist nerd.
Well, I'm the same way. When I see a word, I'm like, I wonder what the etymology of that word. I go looking back, what's the root? You know, and mm-hmm. I don't know language for shit. I don't. Mm-hmm. I barely speak English. Yeah. But I find it very. Thanks. <feel that. laughs> But I mean, yeah. But like, there's an island off the coast of Virginia, mm-hmm. Tangier Island. Have you ever mm-hmm. heard of it?
A little bit, but not much.
They have like 5 last names on the island. Mm-hmm. And if you go there, they still speak with a British accent.
Yeah.
Because they were separated from the mm-hmm. mainland for so stinking long, mm-hmm. it never got out. It's the same way here. Mm-hmm. You go to like, you know, southern Louisiana. Mm-hmm. It's just 2 steps away from speaking French.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Here, if you sped up our accent, it would sound very British.
Mm-hmm. With Irish.
Just with some, touch- yes, Scots Irish type yeah. thing. Yeah. If you go like to Newfoundland, mm-hmm. they sound like they got just off the boat from Scotland or Ireland.
Yeah.
The mm-hmm. whole place. You ever watch Letterkenny?
I haven't, but I have a couple friends who have. Okay.
Yeah. I've been told I had to, but I haven't yet.
It's the first season mm-hmm. is like piss your pants funny.
Yeah.
The dialogue, the written dialogue mm-hmm. is fantastic. Yeah, I mean, there's places all over the country where mm-hmm. there's little pockets like that just got stuck in time, mm-hmm. I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they kept certain traditions or dialects or yeah. whatever. I love stuff like that.
Me too. And I want to just fully say it out here, right here, right now, even though I probably shouldn't, and I hope to not piss off people. But no. I cannot.
No one listens to the show. It's me and you only.
I cannot stand Kentucky accents. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, what an opinion.
I don't know why. That's controversy.
That's a very like directed. I hate you talking.
I don't know what it is. Like some people say like certain accents are grating and that one's grating to me. I don't know if it's just because I hear the northern part of the accent and then I hear the southern coming in. And it just...
It's oil and water to your ears.
Yeah.
Can you give us an impression?
Yeah.
Because I'm like trying to hear it in my head.
She can't do it.
I can't do it. I was... Okay. I'm trying to think.
It's like the Woody Harrelson type stuff.
Okay. You've watched 90 Day Fiancé. Right?
Episodes.
Do you know Paul and Carini?
I watched the first season all the way through. I don't know Paul and Carini then.
No. Paul is from Kentucky, and he's the one that really confirmed it for me that I did.
Is it Paul or Kentuckians?
No, like, okay, so my dad is big. He's a bishop in a church organization, and the headquarters of the church is in Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So I used to go every year before I got a job to Kentucky for a week in July, and I would be stuck with these people. And I would hear this accent, and I would just be like, and I mean, they're sweet people. They are. But the accent, I don't know. I just don't like it because it's slow and it's not, I don't know. It just doesn't sound right.
You. See, I'm the same way with people like in the upper Midwest, mm-hmm. like Wisconsin accents.
Yeah, I could see that.
That hearing one of them talk just chaps my ass. I don't know why. It just, it's. That and like super northern Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
that's too close to Canada for you.
I had a feeling you were about to say that.
No, I mean, I don't know what it is. It's like nails on a chalkboard to my mm-hmm. ears. You know, I've got nothing against those people. I got friends live in Minnesota. What's up, Force? And you know, I love them to death, but. And but he don't have the accent. Like he was in the Marines for years. Mm-hmm. He lost a lot of that from traveling and whatnot.
Yeah.
Great. No problem. It's like a lot of people say that the quote unquote Boston accent mm-hmm. is really bad. That accent's really more people who are like right outside of Boston, like more rural areas mm-hmm. where they get that real heavy. Oh God.
Yeah.
Some people want to strangle that Queens accent.
Mm-hmm.
Like New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the same. I want to mm-hmm. punch him in the face. I hate the Long Island accent. Shoot me directly in the forehead. End it all. Mm-hmm. It just drives me up the wall. Mm-hmm. But those are few and far between.
Yeah. And I've got a friend, or she's an older lady that I house sit for. Sorry, I've been cheating on you.
I want to dock your pay.
And I house sit for her, and she's from Hell's Kitchen, New York.
Okay.
And we were talking about accents.
She's
one day.
In the city then.
Yes. Yeah. Like, she grew up in an Italian neighborhood with the mafia, and I don't know how old she, like, what years, but it was on when they could do some real bad some shit stuff. And get away with it. And so she was telling me what accent she doesn't like, and she was like, I can't stand, you know, that Queen's accent. And
it's
like,
the worst.
I mean, and I just find it interesting, and it's stuff bothers her, and she's like, I see, I don't mind the Southern accent more than, you know, because those would drive me nuts, so y'all don't bother me at all, you know.
Any hate from your way?
No, I'm not very hateful towards the accent.
Well, you should be. How about you?
No, I'm not either.
Why aren't y'all opinionated about this? It's more of the person than the accent, that, I gotta say.
Mm. All this reminds me of when I was interning in D.C. for a summer. And
brag
I got,
about it, why don't you?
Yeah, I got made fun of one time for a southern, like, southern saying that we say here. Mm-hmm. And I said it one time there, and they
What'd
made fun
you
of me.
Say?
Well, lick my biscuit.
No, not even that.
Okay.
It was like when you're saying we're about to do something, but here we say we're fixing to. Yeah, they made fun of me for that.
Yeah, I had a friend of mine from New Hampshire do that, too. Then he came out here for like a week, and he picked up on it and started using it.
Yeah.
So I fixed to take a shower. Covered his mouth. Like, oh! Gotcha!
There you go.
Yeah. No hate at all?
No.
We got to fix that.
It's more of what comes out of the person's mouth than how it sounds.
What are the worst people you've ever met?
I don't know.
Caitlin's like, can't think of any examples.
She's also the wannabe mean girl, so, like, she gets that out.
You're doing a very shitty job of it, I need to say.
She gets it out in her second personality, and we're not seeing that tonight.
No. How much alcohol does it take for it to come out?
I mean, it depends.
Open that cabinet right there.
I'm good.
Oh, we can fix this right quick. Nothing?
But no. I'll think of something here in a minute. Give me a minute. I'll know what... I know what grinds your gears.
It drives me crazy.
apparently me. Not Kentucky, apparently. So.
No.
So what were you interning in D.C. for?
It was part of the internship. I had to do as a requirement for my bachelor's degree. So I was interning at the Department of Forensic Sciences there for a whole summer.
Like a government organization?
Not like full-on federal government, but yeah, city government.
Get out. I'm joking.
Me
and Peyton share a hatred for federal government.
We do.
I mean, they work with federal government on some stuff because they're in D.C.
But tell them what you're getting your degree in.
What? Which degree?
All of them.
Well, I have a bachelor's of science in forensic chemistry, and now I'm working towards a PhD in chemistry.
Fucking nerd.
That's why she knows everything. She's got all the facts.
This is too smart. Well, for my show.
I question every day, should I stay in grad school? So
I think that's a viable question, but you're how far through it are you?
I'm 2 years into it.
Like, this is my first semester.
No, oh, I'm 2 years in. I've got 2 to 3 years left.
You can bang it out.
Yeah, well, it's better than trying to find a job in a pandemic because I get paid for this. So
that's true. What's wrong with that? What are you wanting to do with it?
I have absolutely zero idea.
Great plan.
Well, let's put it this way. When I graduated from undergrad, I was like, oh, yeah, with this degree, you know, I'm going to do what everyone does with a forensic degree and work in a crime lab. And then I started grad school, and I'm like, I have no idea what to do with a PhD.
Well, when you get a PhD, when you decide that, you can be like, yeah, I can always go back to teaching, though, and then I can be really mean.
Heck no, I'm not going to teach.
You're not going to teach?
No.
Hates students.
I hate teaching, but I have to teach because it's what we get paid to do.
See, tell you a little story. My wife is incredibly smart. Much smarter than I deserve to marry. Very, very smart. And we go on vacations, or we did before they shut down the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to one of the Sandals resorts, which we go to pretty regularly. And last time we went, I was like, you know, we tell these people we meet down there that we do whatever. You know, I could say that I was king of the world. They wouldn't even know. I said, what are you going to tell them that you are? She's like, a history professor. She could have picked anything in the world. And she picked, but see, she was smart because she picked something that she could actually talk about.
Yeah.
Because she is very knowledgeable of history. And she goes, what are you going to tell him? I said, an astronaut. She's gone. Yeah, we didn't do that, but it was a fun thought experiment. But see, she is so smart that she picked something that she could have even faked if she needed to.
Yeah, you'd have to be talking about physics a lot with being an astronaut.
But how would
I like stars.
How much would they call you out on it? You just had to have been better at lying.
What are they going to say?
Yeah.
What? How do you fly it? Can't tell you, man.
Unless they themselves are an expert in it, they would not know.
We're not going to question it. But look at this physique. It's apparently an astronaut physique. You know, it's a 300-pound guy getting launched into space. No, that was... She, whenever she said, I was like, God, she should go back. Because she's got a degree of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but everything she reads is either nonfiction history,
mm-hmm.
or it's fiction based on history.
Yeah.
You know, so, and she, I kind of, I like to play video games from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And I played one, what was it? Shit. Total War, one of the Total War games. But it's set like in the 1700s
mm-hmm.
in Europe. And it goes like, it covers like from like the east part of the U.S. down into Mexico, Central America, all the way to India. Damn, sorry. All the way to India.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, playing the game where historical events can happen during, mm-hmm. like, oh, did you know? She's like, yeah. I knew that, you know. And then the new one is Crusader Kings 3 came out. It's everywhere from, like, from Iceland down to Africa all the way to India. And it starts 1066 mm-hmm. at the Norman invasion and the Viking invasion in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so some historical things happen, but depending on how wars play out in the game, you know, all this stuff can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, hey, did you know? She's like, yes, I know that. I know. I've read that.
Yeah.
I've learned all about that. Hey, did you know William Conquerboot was originally William the Bastard? Yes, I know. I know. But yeah, so I was like, you know, I'm amazed how I've always liked history,
mm-hmm.
but I've always been more interested in like American history.
Yeah.
So now I'm learning all this European history and all this mm-hmm. stuff. And she's always said, whatever it takes,
yeah.
whatever it takes to get you to learn, mm-hmm. like you, somebody, whatever it takes to get a kid reading.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
like her motto mm-hmm. through and through. Whatever it takes to get their nose in a book or to get them to learn something,
mm-hmm.
use it.
See, that was the first book I actually remember reading was a history book on Egypt when I was about 6 years
right
old.
That's right up her, yeah.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
See, I like American history. She says, that's too young for me.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
wants old stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And see, I love ancient Egypt, but as I've gotten older, when we're in school, they teach us just facts.
Right.
Facts, mm-hmm. facts, 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 yeah. facts. And as I've gotten older and learned more about history, I like being able to pull it all together. Like, I can be like, oh, this is why this happened, mm-hmm. and then this is why this happened, and explain it better. And you don't really get that in school.
No.
No.
And I hate that.
No, you're told, you know, you need to remember this date.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, you know, remember that 2 + 2 = 4.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about how you got there.
Mm-hmm.
Just know it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say Christopher Columbus sailed the ocean blue.
1492. Yeah.
I still remember we talked about that in AP World History, and our teacher was just like, yeah, he was a shitty person. And we were like, okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, he was. I love that teacher, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't tell you anything about, like, the Vikings were here first, or, you
St. know. Brennan from Ireland came over here.
Yeah.
1,000 or whatever.
It's just whatever's the most, you know. I mean, it's like mm-hmm. anything. You can rewrite history however you want to.
Yeah.
Wait, you think it's a teacher's... Do you think that's a teacher's issue, or do you think that's you think it's a teacher just mailing it in, or phoning it in, or whatever you want to say, or do you think that they are just teaching with the books they have available?
I think it depends on the teacher. We suffered from having coaches as history teachers.
Yep.
Yeah.
My brother come in one day while we were eating supper, and he said, we talked about Versailles today. And mom said...
You mean Versailles?
And mom said, what? And he said,
we talked about Versailles today in school. And she was like, what? And he was like, I know it's Versailles, but our teacher is really nice and he's a coach and he doesn't know any better.
Those teachers are just teaching from the book.
Yeah, they're just
teaching.
They
have to. I'm not saying they don't know, but I'm saying they probably don't know.
Yeah.
You think that maybe like a time constraint? Mm. How far do you want to go back? Do you just want to go back to Columbus or do you want to go back to Eric the Red?
Yeah.
Or do you want to go back to St. Brendan? Mm. Or do you want to go back to possible Polynesians coming here, you know, earlier than that?
Mm-hmm. I think it, okay, so with that, we had that teacher and then another one that taught U.S. history. And both of them absolutely mm-hmm. loved history.
Yeah.
You could tell by the way they taught that they absolutely loved history.
And that's where I learned the couple things that I learned.
Yeah. And
they also weren't coaches.
Yeah, they were not coaches. But they, you know, the way they spoke about it, and it wasn't, I'm sure, like, in one of the classes, we had state tests in. So yeah. he had to follow a certain
guideline
on what we were supposed to, you know. But the way he taught it and the way he knew about it, I mean, it wasn't dishonest in any way. It wasn't just, here's a few facts, you know, have fun with that, memorize that, go on with your day. It was, oh, this happened and then this happened and this happened. We're going to talk about the Gilded Age tomorrow and you're going to love this. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was great.
Now that's, I had U.S. history in 11th grade, junior year.
Yeah.
They still do it now.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had like world history in mm-hmm. sophomore year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Things changed 20 years ago that I graduated high school. No, like our U.S. history teacher was the men's basketball coach, boys basketball coach. And I was so pumped about getting to U.S. history. I was like, oh, this is going to be so great. So he comes in the first day. We start U.S. history at the Comstock load, like out west, like in the early 1800s. I'm like, but what about
everything else that happened before that?
What about, you know, like the War of Independence or the things leading up to the War of Independence? It was kind of important, you know, to U.S. history. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. We don't get into the Founding Fathers. We're not going to get into the Boston Tea Party. We're not going to do any of that.
Skip the creation of our country.
We're going to skip the Civil fucking War. I mean, what? We're going to go right out west. Comstock load. Here, we're building the Transcontinental Railroad. We're going to get on to that. Like, really?
I hate it when they go non. I hate it when they do that and they don't like. They just don't care.
There's no fill in. There's no. Hey, this is how we got here.
Yeah, there's nothing. We had a coach teacher in sixth grade, maybe for history. I don't know. I don't want to know names.
Caitlin looks confused.
No, she probably blocked it out. No. Anyway, no, it wasn't sixth grade. It was
probably like seventh.
It was seventh.
It doesn't matter.
We had one for eighth grade for sure. I know
eighth
we did.
Grade. Oh, it was world history. The coach.
Yeah. As okay. I know who it was, too.
Yeah. Well, I know you know who it was.
You were there.
But
actually, I think we had that class together.
We probably did. But like he had no clue. It was world history. He had absolutely no idea about anything. We had just gotten done reading or we had just gotten done learning about Japan and read the book, you know, because he didn't know anything. And I had Shogun by James Clavell on my desk because that's what I was reading at the time. And he looks at it. And because he knew he taught that, he was like, but how's that book?
That also sounds about right.
Like, you could tell he didn't know anything and he wasn't interested in it. And he was like, he felt like he needed to say that because it was about something we were learning about. But it was sad.
Well, see, our coach, he kind of skirted over a lot of the stuff. And then we got into, he really kicked it up when we got like the Spanish-American War. Mm-hmm. Like, ah, war.
Yeah.
This I know about.
I like war. You know?
And then like World War II, we spent like a friggin' month on World War. Skipped over World War One.
Yeah.
Which, you know, World War One was pretty complicated. There was a lot of, a lot of hands in the pie during World War
One. Oh, yeah.
Got to World War II, much more drawn lines, you know. You got Germany and Russia and Japan until Russia jumps ship and joins us. And, you know, he spent like a month on World War II.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of did a little bit about the Korean War. Mm-hmm. Oh, Vietnam War. I was in high school during the Vietnam War. I can tell you all about it.
Yeah.
He brought in guys that he knew who served in Vietnam and told us stories. And I'm going to keep hitting that arm. I'm so sorry. I make fun of Brandon for talking with her hands. Now I'm doing it. He brought in guys he knew that served during Vietnam. They brought in slideshows. Mm-hmm. And like, we're really into it. And then we've got to like the first Gulf War.
Mm-hmm.
Really got into that, you know. And that was like, hey, that's all I got.
That's it.
You know. We're done. After like World War II, he kind of got more. He got into the presidents,
yeah,
because of the whole Nixon thing, mm-hmm, you know, and Gerald Ford. He couldn't get reelected, and whatever.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was like, well, that was kind of a shitty history class. You know, I was good with it. But then we had him the next year for economics.
Mm-hmm. That also sounds about right.
And he was really good at economics. Yeah. I mean, the things he was really. And he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
Great coach, great guy, awesome fella. But it was like he's like kind of followed the book.
Mm-hmm.
So they got to something he was interested in, and now we're going to put all of our time
into that.
Into this thing I love to talk about, you know. I was imagining like he's at home. The weeks leading up to World War II, he's like, oh my gosh. You know, I guess he's just three times a day I get to talk about World War II, you know, and then, oh, Vietnam, that's my jam. I'm into this. I know about Vietnam. Yeah, and you know, I read Reddit a lot,
mm-hmm,
as you do. Ask Reddit threads.
Mm-hmm.
I read them to Tink.
Yeah.
Because I have to work on my out loud reading, mm-hmm, you know, kind of reading like at a seventh grade level. And so I'll read her like she likes the gossipy ones.
Yeah.
No, what's the craziest thing you've seen happen in a wedding? She's like, read it.
Read it.
Read them all to me. And we got to one and somebody asked, what's something the teacher did that, mm-hmm, really changed your life or the way you do things?
Mm-hmm.
And this guy said, I had a history teacher and I was a junior when 9/11 happened.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, instead of just turning the TV on and just leaving us to watch it, when we came into his class, he turned the volume down, said, look, things are changed from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going to happen. You have government overreach trying to take away liberties. You're probably going to be going to war if you join the military out of high school.
Mm-hmm.
This is the thing. He went over and he goes, I'll be damned if that guy didn't hit every single thing they said.
Mm-hmm.
That was a very unique moment for that teacher.
Yeah.
To be able to teach,
mm-hmm,
during a living history event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, before 9/11, me and my friends were like, there'll never be a time in our life where, like, where were you when Kennedy got assassinated? Well, my mom had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she said, I still remember what happened. She was five. And my grandparents, diehard Democrats,
mm-hmm,
big time Union Democrats. She said, I just remember being five and Aunt Anne calling my grandmother,
mm-hmm,
and her telling grandma what had happened. She said, I remember mom holding me and crying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll never have that moment. I can tell you today, I had a shower radio in my apartment in New Hampshire. I got up that morning. I was off that day. Got that, mm-hmm, morning about 8 o'clock, turned on my shower radio, turned the water on, and they were hearing Tower 2 is collapsing now.
Mm-hmm.
Tower, I was like, what am I listening to? You know, I had it on like the Hard Rock station out of Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting there in the shower. If you're just now joining us, there's been an attack on the what? You know,
mm-hmm,
I'm like, mm-hmm, trying to get out, turn the TV on, see what's going on. Y'all are younger. Y'all are a lot younger. I was,
yeah,
I was 20 when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so y'all were
four.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
You don't remember it at all?
Yeah. No. It was, see, before.
That's so weird to me. Mm-hmm. It's so foreign.
It was
before we were kindergarten. In school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
it was right before we joined kindergarten.
God, yeah. You sound so much older now. So y'all were like toddlers then when,
yeah,
it happened.
Yeah, we were preschoolers.
You remember like that day at all? Not really in particular.
You would. I would.
Anyone out of three of us, yeah, Peyton would be the one.
Big brain Peyton.
I feel like I vaguely remember it, but I don't want to say, because that could be like false memories of, mm-hmm, like thinking about it.
Yeah.
I remember there being some type of big thing that had happened.
But you didn't have a way to relate to it.
Mm-mm. I just remember everybody was like tense, and I didn't really know why, and that could have been it, but I don't know for sure.
I think my sister was, I might have been in kindergarten when the shuttle exploded. It was on takeoff, you know, and they were watching it when it happened.
Yeah.
I think she was like in third or fourth grade, you know. That's one of those moments.
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I remember the Punky Brewster episode we talked about.
I was thinking of the This Is Us episode, like the first episode.
Don't get into that show. That is my mom's show.
I don't think I've watched all of it, and I always stop somewhere in the middle of the first season. But the first episode, the guy's like, I think it all ended for me the day the shuttle crashed.
I watched the first episode, and I was like, okay, we're back in time. That was what we're
My
doing.
My mind was blown. I remember I was talking to Reba. I was like,
oh, you watched show. It?
Yeah. I've watched like the first two seasons or so.
No, but I told mom, I was like, hey, they're filming in Memphis. She's like, where? I think on Mud Island. We gotta go. You know, she loves that show. She eats it with a spoon. It just didn't. It's kind of hard to pull my, well, it's not really hard to pull up my heartstrings. There's certain things that always get me, and that wasn't one of them.
Yeah. It's got to be very specific things. I'm not an emotional person, so I'm like,
I'm a very passionate person.
Yeah.
There are things that you can talk about, and I will defend them till the end.
Yes.
And Tink knows those things.
She avoids them.
So like, she turns the screws on them. She brings them up even more. Just plays devil's advocate.
Oh.
And I hate that because I will we'll go at it.
I can relate to that, though. I have to play devil's advocate a lot, so.
Yeah, you do.
Can't help myself.
Dare you.
It's a disease. But I don't know.
Have y'all had a moment in your life at all where you're like, oh, I'll never forget? Besides, COVID.
I guess that's pretty accurate for us.
Not the new normal. I mean, like a specific moment that something happened that you like won't forget. You'll know where you were at when it happened.
I don't think of it.
Not like a worldly event.
No, not a historical event.
The midnight release of Twilight, was that one of them? No.
I think the only thing that even sort of comes to mind is the inauguration of President Obama. And we watched that during class during school.
I don't remember that.
I do. I remember that one, and I remember Bush.
I don't know if I remember that
one. I remember Bush like more. Grade. Yes, that was more.
Oh, Osama bin Laden being killed.
Yeah.
That was one of those moments for Americans anyway.
It was, yeah. I remember that. I remember mom coming in and being like, Bin Laden's dead. Maybe.
Maybe. I was asleep. I was working at the sawmill. Mm-hmm. And so I had to be at work at 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. And so like 8:45, I'm shutting it down. I'm getting in the bed. So I was like already in the bed. And I vaguely remember Tink running in being like, I killed Bin Laden. I'm like, oh. Well, if I ever get asleep, I'm a zombie. There ain't no getting me back up. And so I got up the next morning, got to the meal, and I'm sitting outside smoking a cigarette. One of the guys pulled up and goes, hey, we got that motherfucker over there. I was like, who? He's like, you know, Bin Laden. I'm sorry, Bin Laden. I was like, hey, I kind of vaguely remember my wife waking me up last night and told me that.
I thought that was a dream.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, yeah, we did. He's like, yeah, it's on the front of the paper. Look at it. I'm like, hot damn. We got one.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Sorry. My mom is the biggest conspiracy
theorist. I love that, though.
Because she's like, I don't know if that's actually how it is, or they just killed somebody just to say that, you know.
You know what I think, really happened?
What?
I think it's Bin Laden. Mm-hmm. And Epstein sitting on a beach somewhere,
holding hands,
sipping Mai Tais, and toking the biggest joint, just passing them back and forth, living the dream. And John McAfee now is with
him. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right next to a palm tree.
Of course.
Lovely.
Yeah. That was like peak Alex Jones. Mm-hmm. When Osama bin Laden got killed. Mm-hmm. He's not dead. He's not dead. COINTELPRO. What's your favorite conspiracy theory?
Favorite one. That's an interesting thing.
I know I don't have one because I can't think of any
now. What? The Kennedys were involved in Marilyn Monroe's death.
Oh, well.
Oh, that's a fact.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That's not a conspiracy.
That's like Courtney Love killed Kurt Cobain. I mean, that's there.
We didn't land on the moon. It's a fact.
That's it.
I'm joking. No, it's no. Serious.
That's funny because my dad was talking about that the other day.
No, I'm kidding. I'm iffy on it, But
I'm not saying you have to believe it. I'm just saying, what's your favorite theory?
My favorite theory. Oh, man.
Trying to think of a dumb one.
Yeah, one of those really dumb ones.
Simulation theory?
I think
we're in the Matrix.
That freaks me out. What if?
You don't want to face the truth. That's a problem.
No. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not big on the simulation theory. I love the moon landing. Not being real. My favorite. Okay, so we got flat earthers.
Uh-huh. Oh, we've got some here on the network.
Oh. Okay. What do they think about the moon being real?
They can't explain. This is what was pitched to me the other day.
Okay.
Show me a picture of the Earth from all sides. I called him a retard and said, hold a ball in front of your face. How many sides do you see? One. It's a sphere. It's a three-dimensional object. You can't look at all sides at once.
Okay. So, from my understanding, this come out of hardcore Christian believers.
Yep.
And it's from a part in the Bible where it says all four corners of the earth.
Right.
And my mom, she should have a doctorate in theology. She really should with what all she knows. And she has this thing where we can look up what it is in the Septuagint Bible, which is the original Greek. And, you know, she goes through all the other, like the original Torah and all that. And it's not actually corners. That was how it was translated.
Don't tell them that.
I'm sorry.
They'll argue with you either way.
Yeah, they will.
In Psalms, it talks about, you know, the horn of the unicorn. Are unicorns real?
Yes.
Come on.
Of course.
Peyton, help me here.
So should
we be keeping kosher then?
Hmm?
Should we be keeping kosher?
No, she's not. We aren't under Levitical law to her. but with that being said, I had to argue with this one guy. So I used to go on these charity, or not charity, but like volunteer trips to St. Jude.
Right.
Or the Ronald McDonald House. And I would go with this church, and I call them the Lotus Eaters because they were all like smiley.
Lotus Eaters, snake handlers, all of them. Yep.
But anyway, so, and I was like doing crafts with kids at the Ronald McDonald House. And this one guy who was super annoying was like, I was painting a unicorn or something. He was like, you know, those aren't real. And I was like,
so?
And I was like, but
fight
you
mode
know,
activated.
Devil's advocate here.
Defend the unicorns.
Like, yes, they are. There's 14 times.
Did you yell defend unicorns?
There's 14 times where they're mentioned in the Bible. And he was like, no, there's not. And so I got on my Kindle and I typed in unicorn. And so he saw 14 times. And so he saw that there was an "and" in front of unicorn. And so he was like, well, that's not a unicorn. That's an unicorn.
Let's pray.
I was like, okay, see, I'm not getting anywhere with you, so I'm just going to stop arguing at this point.
Yeah, I leave them their own devices. If they want to believe the Earth's flat, as long as they don't go bombing federal buildings over it, I don't care. They can believe whatever they want to.
Yeah, I mean, people are fine to believe whatever. I mean, like, there's no point in arguing over stuff.
No.
I mean, unless you just feel like it that day.
Yeah, if they want to be dumb, that's fine. I mean, I have no problem with it.
But I feel like so many people miss out on good conversations with people because they have to be combative about things. Like, we one time, okay, so I go to rural Louisiana a lot for Thanksgiving because that's where my family's from.
Right.
And my cousin brought with him one time to, and I mean, like, there is not a gas station anywhere, like 20 miles to a gas station to the house we're at. Well, my cousin invites his Muslim friend, whose dad is a Saudi Arabian diplomat, to eat with us. And we were scrambling because, you know, it's Southern food. Everything's cooked in pork fat.
Right.
And so we were like, how do we make this halal? But
get some hummus. Give him a salad. Give him something.
We made everything without ham or any kind of pork whatsoever. We just had a ham, and we told him, that's ham.
But don't touch that.
Don't touch that, but everything else is good to eat.
You know, have.
Mm-hmm. But him and my mom had a talk about their religion, and I mean, like, they were fine. They were civil about it. They were just asking each other questions, and it was totally fine. My cousin was on the edge of his seat the whole time, and he's not religious, and he was just like on, you know, he was nervous. He's like, "No, I don't think we need to be talking about religion right now." And the guy was great. He was like, "No, we're having a civil discussion." Mm-hmm. He's like, "This is, you know, this is good." And I feel like everybody should be that way, whether your beliefs are, you know, one way or another. I see way too many people fighting about stuff that doesn't even really matter.
No.
Yeah.
I've always enjoyed, you know, if I find out somebody's from a different religion or even a different sect of Christianity, I love talking to them. I think it's a lot of fun. Worked with a couple of girls in New Hampshire who were Mormon. You know, we had a field day.
Oh, yeah.
Because she gave me a copy, like, of their, one of their books. You know, they have, like, the Book of Mormon, the Peril of Great Price, I think. Price of Great Peril, something. And they have another one. It's like Doctrine and Covenants, I think. I was looking through the Doctrine and Covenants. Like, oh, I agree with that. I agree with that. Not that.
Not that.
Not that. That one's okay.
Yeah.
Not that, you know. And so when they lost me, they can't have coffee. They can't, coffee. They can't have any drink that's hot. Like hot water, they can't drink it. I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Or they can't have any soda other than Dr. Pepper.
No, see, they always drink Sprite up there because it had no caffeine in it.
Oh, who made that up?
That's what my Mormon friends told me.
I think your Mormon has straight away. I think they just like Dr. Pepper. They're trying to put it in their book. We can have, just dismiss it, we can have Dr. Pepper. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they told me that when we were kids. So
Dr. Pepper, good or trash?
I like Dr. Pepper.
I do too.
I don't drink soda.
Yeah, so. She doesn't like anything with carbonation.
You're on my boat now. I've given up soda. I've given up caffeine. I haven't had caffeine never liked much at it. All.
I have not given up caffeine at all since I've given up soda a little bit, and then I leaned a little bit back to it, and then I give it up, and then I like.
What, you don't like anything with carbonation? Is what you said?
No.
Okay.
Unless she's drinking.
Yeah, if there's other fun stuff in it.
But.
Does this make me loopy?
Yeah. And she's always been that way since we were little.
All my siblings are like that.
Is your back hurting you or something?
No, I'm good.
I flex like that. My back gets to hurt me sometimes. I said that. Okay. As long as you're comfortable.
Yeah. But I drink a lot of coffee, so that's kind of where I get that caffeine, like 4 cups a day, you know.
Yeah.
Morning, afternoon, all day.
Yeah. Or before bed.
Yeah. Since working at a daycare and being on my fitness thing, I drink way more.
And you're
more.
Killing it, by the way, I will say. You're kicking ass.
Thank you.
I'm down 25 pounds.
That's awesome. I've noticed. I saw, but I wasn't going to.
You noticed you saw?
I wasn't going to say anything on the podcast.
You're less fat now. Congratulations, Hank. Thanks. Appreciate that. So,
what was the comment somebody said to me? Somebody said something about. Oh, I said, because at that point I'd lost about 65 pounds, and they said, and they were like, how much have you lost? And I was like, 65, and she's like, it looks like you've lost more.
Well, and you're like, thanks. You too, lady.
Like, but it's those compliments where they think they're giving you, like, they genuinely think they're giving you a compliment, but
they don't really think about what they're saying.
It's like when people say, your hair is long, I'm like, yes.
Thanks for the fact.
Like, they don't say pretty, they just say, your hair is long, and I'm like,
so
yes.
What are you doing that's different?
Okay, so on caffeine specifically, it's like bad now, because I used to only drink soda. Now, I get up at 6 a.m., and go work out. So pre-workout. And then I get a load of tea. And then coffee. And then maybe another.
No wonder you're a morning person. Yeah. Like,
well, no. I'm a morning person without the caffeine. It's just like I had to justify. I had to have pre-workout to help with my muscle everything. So I started doing that. And then I've been on loaded teas since before I even started losing weight because they're addicting within themselves. And then I have that, and then I'll have coffee for the rest of the day until I go to bed.
It's like you're eating no solid food then.
I'm eating solid food, but like, no, that was just my caffeine intake.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. That's just my caffeine.
I thought you were living on a liquid diet.
No,
Jesus, lady. You got more power than I do.
No, no, no. I could never. I eat, I'm not keto. I could not ever be keto. I'm on a keto group, and they sometimes scare me with how they are.
It's like CrossFit people.
It's like, but no, like, just the things they are focused on or, like, are worried about. Like, somebody's like, what do I do for hair loss? You get more nutrients.
Yeah.
Like.
Eat a vitamin. Do something.
I mean, if you're not, if you're losing hair from dieting, you are not getting enough nutrients in your diet.
Yeah, you've got to supplement that if you're going to do that.
I mean, it's like vegans. I'm fine with you being vegan, but please take protein, you know, some type of protein supplement, because you have to have protein in order to think critically.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's how like cult leaders do it. Like with when they get followers, they don't let them have protein.
Right.
They just give them sugar water because you don't have critical thinking at that point. So, but I'm all protein pretty much. I try to eat as much as possible, but I've got a Fitbit and I do, I try to do on weekdays, 20% carbs and then about whatever's left in protein and everything on my macros, make sure it's under 1600-1700 calories, and then I eat whatever I want. So,
you know, that's the big thing. Is I don't care if you use keto or Weight Watchers or whatever. Mm-hmm. All diets boil down to a caloric deficit.
Yes,
that's the main thing of losing weight is putting in or letting out more than you're putting in. That's I'm doing kind of a mashup of like a Nordic diet. I've gotten rid of all really refined sugar in my diet, using like rye bread and some dairy, a lot more fruits and veg.
Yeah.
A lot more fruits and veg in my diet. Like enough to like choke a horse, eat bananas and grapes and whatever. And it just doing what I can. Not like I said, last night I had Chinese food. It was like my, it's like the one cheat meal I've had. This, even when we eat out, I try to get something on the healthier side.
Yeah.
You know, I tried keto a while back, like a year ago. It's so strict.
It's super strict.
And once you got a ketosis, you're starting from zero.
Yeah. And I mean, like, it's way too strict. And like, I hear about all these problems that people are going through because
I've heard like women having like ovarian cysts, people losing their hair, like you said, all that stuff.
Yeah, and I mean it's crazy, and I don't understand why you would try to starve yourself or anything on a diet because that's not what you're doing. Like people tell me, "Oh, what are you doing on your diet?" And I'm like, "Well, it's more like a lifestyle change at this point." Yeah. Like I mean,
that's what it's supposed to be.
It's a lifestyle change.
You can't keep up like eating like that. It has to be your lifestyle.
And I mean, like, yes, when I do lose all the weight, I will up my cheat days more, but it's not going to be just, you know, throw caution to the wind. I'm going to eat this whole pie and go on with my day every single day. But I can't deal with people that do that. And I love home cooking. Like, I love cooking, and I love that stuff. So I'm fine with cooking all my food, you know, meats, vegetables, whatever. But I've been gluten-free for longer than I've been on a diet. Okay. I don't have a gluten allergy. My mom has a gluten allergy. So it wasn't that much of a transition at home. The only problem is my mother is addicted to potato chips.
I feel her.
And I was addicted to potato chips. But now I'm like, I can't have my Kettle jalapeno chips.
Yeah, you did eat the hell out of that. whenever she's going to keep the dogs. I always like test her, like, hey, you know, takes putting together a grocery list. You know, what do you want to eat? What do you want to drink? You know, we'll buy whatever you want to have here for you. It was always jalapeno potato chips, Walmart brand.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Orange Crush.
Yep. Like, yep. That's right.
I can do that. You don't want anything? You don't even like frozen pizzas? Nope.
No.
Nope.
I would usually go home and eat. So it's not that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I could walk to my house.
Or I'd see coming in the house like with a McDonald's bag or we had that Ring camera. The first time we got it, she was coming in the house like, I was like, we're at the casino, I think. Mm-hmm. I hit it. I was like, what are you doing? getting food.
I was really thrown off. I was terrified. I was like, I didn't know that you had that.
We were like, God?
Yeah. I was like, I knew it was your voice, but I was like, where is it coming from?
He's behind the bush.
But no. Yeah. It's always a crazy fear that I have that y'all have set up, like, not just you, but everybody that I house sit for. They've set up cameras.
Oh, come on.
And I know that's not realistic, but, like, Nancy's got these. Nancy is a wonderful painter.
Oh, she is.
And there is all sorts of art in their house. And a lot of them have eyes.
They follow you around?
They follow me around, and I'm like, there's Scooby-Doo cameras style. In them. There's cameras in them.
You know how I feel about privacy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't even use my real name on this show, for crying out loud. You know? I don't even tell where we're from.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would hate... Number one, I don't want to film myself walking around my house. And number two, when somebody comes to my house, I want them to feel like it's home to them, too. And you should be as free to do whatever you want to when you're at my house. I would never put up spy cameras.
I know you wouldn't. And I, like, rational. Rationally, I know that no one would do that. Because everybody I house it for is super laid back. But me, I'm just like, there's cameras. I'm so crazy that at the gym, I used the shower for the first time in months there. Mm-hmm. And before I got in the shower or anything, I had to test the mirror to make sure
wasn't a two-way mirror.
It wasn't a two-way mirror or something, knowing full well that it wasn't, but I had to make sure.
It's funny that you mentioned showers. We're talking about that the other night. after we got done with the show. Mm-hmm. When we went to the Bahamas for the first time, they have a spa at the resort. Me and Tink both went and got massages. And they have a locker room that you can use, you know, anytime once you use the spa. And, of course, when they gave you a massage down there, they oil you up like you're a baby seal. I'm like, it's like the massage therapist I use here in town, she uses, like, next to no oil at all.
Just enough to
keep her hands gliding. Ladies down there get a 50-gallon bucket out with a crank on it, and they're spraying you down with oil. And so they get done with the massage and everything. And Tink said, are you going to shower? We're going to go eat after we got done with the massage. I'm like, yes, I'm going to go. She's, I'm going to take a shower too. So we went back to the men's locker room, shower and stuff. come out of the shower and there's like the 60-year-old man from Scotland standing there. You know, as God created him. Dried off.
With the knee up.
Leg on the countertop. Getting the undercarriage. You know, Hurricane Sandy was headed toward the Bahamas when we were there. And he's like, what do you think about the hurricane coming? I'm like, oh, well, buddy, we get them where I'm from. So he's like, I'm really scared about it. He's like, just really going to town. You know, I'm like, yeah, man. I showered around guys like sports. And it's nothing. Yeah. It's nothing for guys to walk around naked in the locker room, you know. I come out and I tell Tink, I said, some Scotsman in there. I said, we had a full blown conversation. And I said, I saw the twig and the berries. She's like, what? And I was like, dude had zero fucks to give. He was just Michael Scott style, leg up on the countertop, to work.
Good for him.
You know, but I do all my drying off before I come out into the common area, like where the sinks and razors and everything are. Now this guy came out dripping ass wet, leg up.
Well, I guess that'd be the European style.
I guess. You know, I guess when in Rome, I might as well win.
No. I mean, who's going to judge me here?
I'm going to see you once in my life. People.
See, that's the funny thing. I feel like guys are way less modest.
We are.
And, like, these two are super modest, and I'm not. Like, my family is not modest. I'm not modest. But they're like, and I'm just like taking clothes off in front of them and stuff.
You go in the bathroom and change. I'll go in my bedroom. And Peyton's like stripping in the middle of the living room.
I like, y'all never change in front of it. She's like, God, no. Like, really? I think it is a sports thing. You know, I said, like, you never have like change clothes in front of Nancy. She's like, God, no. I was like, what's the big, you know, in high school, get out of the field house, you tore your clothes off and put on your football uniform and your pants and the girdle and the cleats. And when you got done with practice, you strip down, and mm-hmm. lockers are just right next to each other and then across from each other. There's a bench we shared in the mm-hmm. middle. Mm-hmm. We don't think anything of it.
See, I think it's for my mom, because my mom is not a modest person. Like, if a girl has been to my house, she's seen my mom's boobs before, because my mom lives in a bathtub for yep. the most part. And so, like, all the neighbor girls have seen her. My brother's girlfriend seen her.
But it's same parts. It don't matter.
It don't matter. And, like, one time...
In my opinion, it don't matter.
Yeah, it don't matter to me, but...
I don't care either, so, I mean...
But
Caitlin's the square over here.
I wasn't really listening for a second. I'm sorry.
She was like trying to zone out.
But like my cousin Katie, her best friend died. Mm. And we found out like she's got a bad habit of being Facebooking while driving. Like when she's so we were turning into my neighborhood and she was on Facebook and she just kept seeing RIP, RIP, RIP. Mm. And she freaked out. And I mean, like, we were at the stop sign to get to my house, which is not that far. And she barely made it to my house. And so the first thing she done was got out of the car and went straight to my mom, who had just gotten out of the bathtub and was like toweling off. And she just all of a sudden, she was just crying and like, she just took her in a hug. And mom's like,
okay.
Oh, there. And like it didn't even register that my mom was naked at all until later, and we've joked about it since. But I mean, like, it's just
sometimes you just need a mama hug.
Yeah, that's what she said. She was like, I just needed a mom at that point. Yeah. But yeah, so everybody's seen them. my dad and Katie have touched them. I don't. My mom's getting dragged through the dirt in this. Not dragged through the dirt. They're just gonna think she's a very strange character.
But she's not. She's awesome. She used to, like, when we'd be in the Bahamas, we'd be posting pictures on Facebook. Just rub it in, why don't you? I think I will. Anything else tonight?
Y'all good? I don't have anything. No.
I don't have any. I can't think of anything.
Plug your show.
Oh, plug it.
Yeah. I just say, get up and leave. We just got to close the thing up.
Bye.
Tell everybody about the show.
So, we're from the Let's Call It Nothing podcast, which we will be airing not
next Tuesday.
Not this next Tuesday.
What is
24th.
School starts the 23rd, so I know it's not that day.
All right. See how together we are? Okay, Let's Call It Nothing podcast, season 2, airs the 24th. Please check it out.
Season 1's available now.
Season 1 is available now.
If you like Twilight, if you don't like Twilight, just give it a listen.
It's still good for a laugh.
You might have a good time.
Because I had no clue what was going on, but it's still fun.
We don't either, honestly. Yeah. Like,
we don't even know when it comes on.
That and the last episode we did... recorded at my place. I literally don't remember anything that I said.
It was after 2 a.m. when we recorded it, and I was falling asleep.
Was after midnight. Mm-hmm. We were all kind of drunk, if not tipsy, and I don't know what we said. So.
I had king cake vodka in a coffee mug.
Yeah, all of us did.
Like, in coffee.
That's so classy.
Yeah. No. It's how I am.
I don't blame you.
But yeah, you can listen to us on really most podcast platforms. Yeah, we're also on Instagram at Let's Call It Nothing Pod. You can give a follow, and we might post some stuff about when we come out with episodes. So
maybe. We try.
Yeah, I know. I failed at that, okay? You guys are supposed to help me.
You had one job.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks.
And thank you all for listening out there. Be sure to go by tripodbroadcasting.com to check out all the shows in the network. Also, go by and see our sponsors, eables.com, EABLES. Use the promo code HANGO for 15% off some premium CBD. Also, go by mydelta8.com. Check the show notes on this podcast. See the links to all of our deals. Also, our Amazon affiliate link. If you're going to buy something, just bookmark that link. Send some money our way. So, ladies, Peyton, Reba, Caitlin, thank y'all so much for coming on here. I love y'all, and I love all y'all out there for listening to the show. We'll see you next time. Bye.